Ramsey TV.
I want to revisit a video I made back in April of 2019. It's MZTV 147. It's a happy little title. It's called We Are Dying. Yeah, we are dying. It sounds really low-key and downcast, but in fact, there's a silver lining sewn into this topic. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Happy to be with you, as always. We are dying. Remember last week I told you that in every bad circumstance, we look off to something else, and I suggested to you that the dying are given some sort of, I will call it a God drug. I'm convinced of this, that the pain of dying is somehow eased by God the Merciful. God the Merciful. And so I see us dying in a parable in that the world is growing very dim to us. We feel like strangers more and more here every day. And this is preparation for us not to die actually, but to leave this earth. Those who are dying, according to the hospice people and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, or does she deal with more? She deals more with grief, I guess. So, but the dying, they go inside themselves. They start to detach from the world. And things grow dim. In fact, I've quoted that hymn many times. The things of the world grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. And there it is, the whole thing. Jesus Christ on the cross, the pain grew dim in the light of the glory and grace that God showed him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And we are sons of God, so we have the same privilege. We have the same comfort offered by God the Merciful. In all these trials, you must remember that he is God the Merciful. And as I said on Friday, I believe he will not leave you to be tempted, to be tried, is the proper translation there. He will not bring you into a trial without giving you the sequel, that is the outcome. He will, with the trial, the exact wording in the Concordant version, with the trial, will provide the sequel in the Greek, the outstepping. He'll show you where it's leading. He'll show you the glory at the other side of it. So God does not leave us alone. Not at death, not in our trials, and not now as we are. I feel like I am going through a passage of hating the world, of being more and more every day a stranger in the world. And really trying to cope with it. Trying to, you know, I can't understand the people anymore. I can't understand their joys. I can't understand what makes them happy. I can't understand what makes them sad. Not that I'm not a human, I'm fully human, of course, but it's just that we are becoming more and more occupied with the things of the Spirit and with the things of our future. We're more and more realizing that we died with Christ, we were crucified with Christ, and the life we live in faith that is in the Son of God, and we're being prepared for the next step. In light of that, I want to read a verse from Matthew 11. I'm just going to read a little bit. I might give you a little bit of the context, but this struck me the other day. Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew 11, verse 17. Let's start with verse 16. Now, to what shall I be likening this generation? Stop right there. He's trying to figure out the best way to describe the generation he was in, because he was way out of place, obviously, more out of place than we are. And so you strive in your mind to compare it to something. What do I compare this to? I'm a stranger in a strange land. I'm an expatriate. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a realm that's not of this earth. And it's a strange thing to feel so out of place in your own, quote, home, unquote, but this planet's been our home for quite a while. So Jesus, too, is coming up with an analogy, and his analogy is pretty good, you see. So he says here, to what shall I be likening this generation? It's like little boys and girls. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to continue in a moment, but I want to comment on it's like little boys and girls. When you were a child, you got so excited about the littlest thing. I mean, I sometimes mourn the loss of childhood. Everything was magical back then, at least for me. I know people had awful childhoods. I'm speaking from my experience. The things you were excited about as a kid now seem crazy. I wish I could get excited about like a red rubber ball. I mean, everything held such great possibility when you were young because you hadn't been spoiled yet, speaking for myself. You hadn't been jaded yet. You haven't learned the cruelty of the world yet, speaking of myself. I lived in a wonderful, loving home and was sheltered in that way. I wasn't sheltered from the world, but I saw the world through these rosy glasses. I thought everybody grew up like I did. But then you find out that they didn't. Then you find out what a terrible place this is. You find out that this earth contains the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the world thinks of God and of the Spirit and of you. And Paul put it perfectly. He said, I'm crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. What they find exciting, what they find sad, what they find interesting or entertaining doesn't entertain me. And what I find interesting, what I find thrilling, says Paul, contemplating God, contemplating being filled with Spirit and having a part in the reconciliation of the universe to God, they don't care about because they can't see it, they can't touch it, they can't feel it. So our Lord here is comparing his generation, and we have a generation that's even more so, to little boys and girls. It's very insulting, but I like it. What shall I compare this generation to? Little boys and little girls. And in many ways, those people in the world that are supposed leaders, those who have accomplished the most, compared to what we think about, what we're occupied with, they're little boys and girls. They're still just playing with toys. I mean, this computer I'm on is a toy. But people worship Steve Jobs and people worship Microsoft and all the geniuses who put together these things. And yet, they're trifles. They're toys. Sports stars who... People break the world record in any event. The mile, 10,000 meter run, 1,500 meter run. It just... You know, they're toys, they're child's play. So let's finish what Jesus said here. To what shall I be likening this generation? It's like little boys and girls sitting in the markets who, shouting to others, are saying, quote, we flute to you and you do not dance. We wail and you do not grieve. Let's take that first thing. We flute to you and you do not dance. The world is getting more and more demanding of you. And with this CV19er and the people wearing the face diapers and the vaccine, am I allowed to say that? And I gotta find a code word for that. There's gonna be a strong pull, stronger and stronger and stronger to play the game, to be a part of it. We flute for you. We bring you something good. We bring you a pleasant sound, a wonderful solution to your problems, a shield against all disease. But you're not playing. You're not dancing to our tune. We're playing for you, and we call this good. Of course, they call evil good and good evil. Nothing that couldn't be more true in the realm of medicine. But you don't dance. You see, the world wants us to be performing monkeys. They expect everybody to dance to their music. They think it's pleasant music, but it's discordant. It's awful. And as they used to say on American Bandstand, you can't dance to it. You just can't dance to it. The old saying, we're marching to the beat of a different drummer. We hear different music. We have different calling. We have a different leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't get it, not even the religious world, because we know they're not worshiping the true Lord, the true Christ, the true God. It's all caricature. It's all the false Christ, the false God. So they're playing games too with their religious trinkets and their ornaments and their ceremonies and their feelings. And they're playing to us. They can't imagine, why aren't you coming to our organizations? Why aren't you coming to our events? Why aren't you dancing? Damn it, we're playing music. We're playing the flute and you're not dancing. No, we're not. We're sitting there in a dance hall. All these people are going crazy. They're dancing to the beat of whatever the world plays. And we're sitting there looking like bumps on logs. And we look like we're just nuts. But Jesus looked the same way. And then conversely, we wail and you do not grieve. The world is upset about things that we know are passing. Evil, passing. Sin, it's passing. It's temporary. Death, it's passing. It's temporary. And the world is wailing, and we're supposed to wail with what they grieve over. But we don't. Because we're odd. We're strange. And as this verse came to me again, I felt a real camaraderie with Christ when he was on the earth. Talk about the odd man out. But if his spirit makes its home in us, and it does, then we're the odd people out, and there's very few of us. We will not dance to their music. And we will not grieve at their grief fests, whatever they think is eternal, i.e. death, sin. They live for today. That's all they do. They live for today. We don't. So I'm going to link you to this video I made in April of 2017, almost 4 years ago now. It's called We Are Dying. And I do feel like, and I think many of you feel this way, that I'm being taken from the world. It's already starting. The snatching away for me is already starting. Isn't that quite a thought? I mean, it's really hitting me as I'm talking about this. The snatching away is starting. Because I'm losing contact. I don't know this place anymore. I don't know the people. Again, I don't understand their music. And when I say music, I don't mean literal music. I mean their joys. I ask myself, how can they be so involved? How can they be so enmeshed, engrossed in this place? How? It's all they know. They do not have the Spirit of God. They have enough Spirit to stand on their 2 feet, but they do not have any more than that. Spirit is all a matter of measure. So I feel like I'm crawling inside myself. And this is a gift that God gives to those who are dying. I'm using dying as an analogy of us being prepared to leave this earth. And the last thing that a dying person wants is to be dragged back into the world. It's like, imagine, you know, the hospice people are at your house. You're curling up. You feel there's a little bit of a pleasantness in letting go. You're letting yourself let go. And then the phone rings. And somebody brings a phone over to you and says, oh, hey, this guy, this aluminum siding guy wants to talk to you about siding your house. Or would you mind taking this call? I know, you know, you're dying, but there's this great vacation package that some company's offering. You know, if you listen to their sales pitch, then they're going to give you a free 3 nights at Yogi Bear Park. Can you take this call? Nothing could be more discordant. How can anything be more discordant than that? But that's how I feel when I'm encountering, by the day, the world's concerns. I'm going to link you to that video. I remember being really sad when I made it. I'm not like jumping for joy now, but 4 years removed, I'm in total agreement with it. It's as true as ever. But what's different now is I feel a camaraderie with Christ. I have a new appreciation of this verse that our Lord found himself in a similar situation. And he's surrounded by the vibrations of the world. And he just doesn't get it. And neither do we. And ladies and gentlemen of the body of Christ, this is a good thing. God is doing this for us as a mercy, because we are about to be removed from this realm. And he's even now snatching us away. He's doing it very small ways, but I want you to recognize them, and I want you to appreciate them, and I want you to consider them miracles. It's a miracle that you don't dance to their songs and you don't grieve to their idea of what is interminable, like evil, death, sin, decay. This stuff is so light compared to what we're coming into. It's so transient. Sin, death, evil, and decay. It's even now going away for us, and appearing before us, even in the middle of the darkness, is a great light. And we're going toward the light while living, while breathing, while still on this planet. We're going toward the light. And as you go toward the light, the things we used to consider light become darkness. We're there. I'm there. And we're on this ride together.